Hey everybody, and welcome once again to the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Aspidey, and joining me today we have Biscuit Dough and two new members. Firstly, I'd like to introduce Link Thinks.
Hello. I'm Link Thinks. I'm from the Northern America. My favorite keywork is Planetarian, and my favorite character is Yoshino Haruhiko.
Yoshino's fantastic. There's not many people that I think would say him as their favorite character.
He's such
character.
A bro. He really stood out to me.
We
like
have variety.
So.
He didn't say Little Busters?
I'm just breaking the mold here. That's why I'm along.
And we also have Cannon.
Hello. I'm Cannon from the UK, and my favorite is Little Busters. Fuck your variety. My favourite character is Kyosuke Masato and Kengo because I refuse to respect any of those more than the other.
That's a good answer. Whenever we like first started doing this and he was like, yeah, just say what your favourite work and your favourite character is, and I was like, fuck, I can't do that.
Yeah, you just gotta take the canon route. So here we are with episode 5, The Sound You Heard Sometime. Cannon, would you take away with our intro?
Sure thing. In this episode of Mida is a Hack, Charlotte is beaten up by bullies and ported straight from Kurugaya's root while the subs heavily exaggerate the event. Somebody decides to bring an actual director onto the team, allowing us to finally get some well-placed character development. A Saito character is confirmed to satisfy Mida's not-so-secret Hikaru Midorikawa fetish before we finally go back home to the biggest twist of the episode. The lolly doesn't ruin it this time.
Bravo, bravo.
Very good.
So, episode 5, guys, it feels like this was, like, actually episode 3 and they just put it in 2 episodes late. It's like we finally got back on the rails again after a bit of a lull in the series, I guess. That's kind of how I'm feeling.
I was saying right after I watched it, I was just like, did someone else direct this episode?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
It was crazy.
I'm pretty convinced it's a different director.
There had to have been someone else for 2 of those episodes, yeah. Because it completely, like, I was really blown away by this episode.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't the most eventful episode, but at the same time, it just felt so much better.
Everything was natural. That's, like, the key word here is natural. Mm-hmm. Cannon says it all the time in his posts, whenever he reviews them on the topics. Like, it's exactly what this episode was. Everything
was speaking for Cannon now.
Everything was so comfortable. Like, you just
Yeah. Just
sat down and watched. And I was, nothing, like, was shocking to me. I was just like, ah, this is nice.
Yeah, with all the other episodes, I usually use the word forced a lot. With this one, it was natural.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Link?
It was definitely a big step up from, like, the previous 2 episodes. It feels like the team just, they got 2 pretty good episodes. They're like, alright, you know, we can take it easy for the next 2. And now they're like, shit, we shouldn't have done that. Here's something good to make up for it. It was good, I enjoyed it.
But, like, I want to contrast this with episode 4, which was a similar, like, sort of content. You just had that monster of the week and the group are having a lot of fun, shenanigans and stuff. But they were so different. Like, I feel like there was a lot more, like, natural progression and development of the characters. Exposition, I guess you could say. Like, people use that word in a bad sense, but, like, you know, we're getting, like, a good feel for the characters now that we didn't in the last 2 episodes.
My issue with the baseball, like, the baseball thing was, okay, we're gonna have baseball, but because of the way that it was, like, an event, it was, again, it's like the word forced, right? Like, everything felt like it was just kind of molded for this baseball event, and everything was kind of driven in a certain way, whereas their, like, little camping trip where nothing happens for, like, 2 days is actually, like, it has room for some nice, natural kind of conversations, because you're in the fucking woods with some people for a couple days, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's a very different kind of environment. And the kind of environment definitely breeds, like, I don't know, like, just, yeah, chatting with your friends and, like, getting to know each other.
It's camaraderie. You're, like, toughing it against nature, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we can all agree this is a much better episode than previous. Well, at least better than, like, 3 and 4. So, now, I think for this episode, we're going to focus on talking about the characters, because as we've all brought up, like, we got a lot of, like, information, insight into the characters in this episode, and I want to take, like, the proper time to kind of acknowledge that. So let's start by talking about Yusa and Misa.
Okay, so I feel like they actually gave Yusa some depth for the first time this episode. She's been absolutely nothing before this. But now there's some semblance of a person in there. Misa is still absolutely most of the character, but, yeah. I don't really feel much from either of them, for the most part.
They're having a good time with their dynamic now, whereas, like, episode 4 and, like, 3, it was kind of there, but episode 4, it was mostly just kind of Misa took over, and it just kind of all happened, like, off-camera almost. Like, it wasn't really anything interesting. Whereas in this episode, there was, like, kind of actually used it in the narrative to, like, do some fun things, right? So, like, there's the scene in the in the room where, like, Misa says, who knows what she says, but Takamatsu's just like, no, don't say that.
Oh, yeah, the swearing.
Yeah. And the way that she sits was excellent. I really like that.
And there's, like, the scene with the bathtub where it's like, damn it, you just did this because you knew I'd take over.
Yusa's just like, I can't do this. And Misa's just like, shut up. Just hops in the fucking trash can. It's like, yeah. It's the barrel, whatever.
And we saw that scene where Yusa was, like, talking about her relationship with Misa.
I guess it kind of goes into what Pepe was saying, that she obviously cares about her sister, like, who wouldn't, you know, so they finally kind of brought that in. And she kind of rambles about it, too, and they even make it a point to, you know, note, oh, I'm rambling, or whatever, just to show that she obviously cares. That was pretty good.
And you know what she's feeling. Which is interesting, like, a lot of people thought, oh, he's talking about Aomi, but some people are thinking he's talking about this mysterious missing sibling. So it might be a little bit of foreshadowing.
That's actually kind of what I thought.
Yeah, that's definitely the sense that I got. I noted that down.
I guess I'm the only one in here who was thinking about Aomi.
I guess, like, the feeling of, like, admiring, like, an older sibling is definitely different to, like, wanting to protect a younger sibling. Yeah.
Well, it did specify tagging along behind somebody. It's not like you would be trailing behind Aomi, right?
Well, it's just weird. Like, in the context of it, it seems strange that he would talk about Aomi like that. Just kind of like the last time we talked about Aomi in the context of, like, siblings that he's comparing was Nao and her brother, and he used her brother and, like, used himself, saying, like, oh, well, what if I end up that way and Aomi ends up like Nao? Instead of the other way around. So it's kind of weird that they swapped it here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a moment to talk about Takajo.
Pronounced Takamatsu.
Takamatsu.
Yeah.
This is like his first actually, like, decent moment since episode 1.
Yeah, it's probably one of, like, the lower rated moments in the episode, but I still liked it quite a lot. I don't know. I mean, it was a clever way to show, yes, he's buff. They're bathing. Okay, that's fair. The conversation itself might have been kind of a little weird, but
it's definitely, like, foreshadowy.
Yeah, and
I
really liked how he kind of, like, snapped at you a little bit. Because I really like this idea of, yes, they're friends, like, but they're really more so acquaintances. Is what I like to think about. Like, I feel like the show is really focused on youth and siblings and not so much these friendships. Like, I feel like they're kind of there together, but they may butt heads, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, they all have their own reasons for being the student council, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're still figuring out what his reason is. But this, I'm just drawing back to the whole episode. I feel like this strengthens my theory that Nao is just wanting to have fun with friends. Like, just all these things they do together, it's awfully convenient that they just have a lot of, like, fun doing it.
Yes, it looks like they have fun. At least Yu has fun.
I don't know. I think Nao's getting into it. Like, she loves dragging everyone around to do things with her.
Yeah, it definitely benefits her.
So, Link, what did you think of Yu in this episode?
I'm not gonna lie, he still does rub me the wrong way slightly. His personality shift is still kind of reeling on me from the first episode. I get his situation, but it still seems a bit off-putting to me. He feels like the kind of person who'd be like a compulsive liar or something, so I don't know.
Could but you elaborate, at the same time, like, what exactly in this episode is ticking you off?
It was when he listened to the music, right? Ziendo! And he took off the headphones, and he immediately is saying his, like, innermost, this is what it felt to me, and it was, like, oddly, I don't know, like, personal, I guess. I can't word this very
nostalgic.
Well. It felt a bit strange to me that he would just, like, openly say that, like, right away.
For the record, I will say, as just kind of my personal attachment to this scene, obviously talking about music and a specific kind of music that I quite enjoy, I will say that in writing how Maida feels about this music and how he portrays it in this episode is exactly how I feel. So whenever Nao does her little, like, ha, you get it, like, that's exactly how I felt. So it's actually a very personal attachment that I have, so I actually really like that scene.
No, I thought it was, I did enjoy the scene, I thought it was good, like, but he still is a bit off for me. I think I'll just need a bit more time with it, I guess.
You're more talking about Yu's reaction. You think, like, he's warming up to Nao too quickly?
I think he's warming up to everyone a bit too quickly. He's becoming a bit, like, too docile. And I kind of wish we saw a bit more of glimpses of his initial personality. I get that this is development of his character, but I don't know. Personally, I'd like to see it have a bit more of a rocky path.
The way it worked, like, he doesn't really, like, butt heads and fight as much as he did, even though there were a few moments where he was just kind of like, come on, really? And even in this episode when he has to take over, you know, Sky High Saito, he's just like, I don't want to do that. But, like, I feel like he's been having a lot of moments that have been, like, really shocking to him. And so I feel like that kind of fits kind of well with his development being kind of jarring, because he's been going through a lot of shit the last few episodes. And, like, he keeps having these big, you know, kind of epiphanies. Like, even in this episode when he does, you know, walk out onto the cliff or whatever to talk to Nao, like, he immediately just starts thinking about her brother and stuff, and she's like, what are you doing? And he's just like, oh, nothing. Like, he's been changed, and it keeps kind of coming up, and that's why, like, he's kind of been in his shell the last few episodes, is kind of how I took it.
It keeps coming back to me that we still don't know who Yu is, really.
It could, like, just be because, bad. Like, it could just, like, be bad directing for Yu, but I feel like
the Yu we saw in episode one, like, it's only one side of Yu. Like, we still don't know his backstory and what's going on with his older sibling. There's still a lot about his character that we don't know yet. We have only seen what happened after he got his powers onward. So, like, sure, that's one aspect of his personality, but that doesn't mean, like, everything else that we see from him is necessarily fake. I think that's an important thing to consider.
It's a good,
I'll tell you one thing we know about him. This episode, that's it. This episode did such a good job of reinforcing the relationship between Yu and Ayumi, and I loved it, because they just did so much. Like everyone was, well, I say everyone, Yusa and Yu were frequently complaining about having to camp out for so long, but Yusa just took it. Yu brought it up one time, and he gave his specific reason for not wanting to do this is that he had a little sister and he wanted to go back to her. He'd only been out there for one day, but he wanted to go back immediately. And I don't think that's because she coughed over the phone, because he didn't make a big deal out of that. I think he didn't want to leave her. And at the end of the episode, that was a beautiful moment. They didn't ruin it. It was totally genuine. Like, she's got cold
again.
So he feels for it. She's got she talks about her school life. He listens. He's like, ah, oh, it could have been the biggest moment of your life.
That was such a good scene.
yeah. And she comes back. Shockingly. She's like, if I went out with someone, it'd have to be someone as good as you, Oni-chan. And that also gave you a quick moment to show that he's still an egotistical prick, because he said, yeah,
you're right. He said, yeah, you're right.
So I really, really liked how genuine the relationship between Ayumi and you was portrayed in this episode, and I'm glad that happened.
And no pizza sauce, yes!
Because next episode is when that shit's going to go down with Ayumi, and I'll believe you's reactions now.
Yeah, like, I actually, like, care now. I feel like there's a nice bond there that I know is going to be broken in some way because Maida's a fucking asshole. But, that said, this is a very good scene.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I really haven't felt a lot for Ayumi up until now, but this one scene was just, yeah, it's directed really well. It's like, you can write this character in an enjoyable way if you really try.
And you also obviously have kind of the contrast here where, yes, it's been annoying, but just like how there's some episodes where nothing really happens, maybe you're going to be able to look back and be like, man, those were good times, because now you're probably not going to see so much of crazy annoying Ayumi because something's going wrong, so it's going to be like shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I still don't think that justifies the terrible jokes. Let's be serious. They could have done it a lot better, but still, like, it has served a purpose, and I think we're going to see that in the coming episodes.
Yeah, I definitely would have liked Ayumi and Ryu's relationship to have been gradually built up rather than all dumped in this episode, but I'm happy enough with what was given this episode.
Fair enough. Moving forward, we have Now to talk about. What do you think about Now, this episode, Link?
And you're just throwing these off to me after I'm quiet for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, obviously, she was really good this episode. I mean, she's once again demonstrating her, you know, amazing leadership qualities and just kind of like human qualities.
It's her amazing ability to have so many characters put into one.
Yeah. Like, she really, it really is obvious, and it was, like, obvious from very early on after meeting Now that, like, oh, okay, this character is written in such a way that, like, she's extremely relatable and, like, likable. She feels natural, and this episode really helped accentuate that. I think probably the obvious most standout scene is the scene with Jien, where it's like, oh, yeah, you get it. Like Biz said, that moment was really, really good. Because it happens. It really does happen.
Yeah, I already spoke about how I feel like she's trying to get buddy-buddy with everyone, because she's lonely. But we need to talk about that bullying scene, the mob interrogation, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And those terrible Crunchyroll subs.
Yeah.
Pepe actually brought this up. He asks, why is Now being beat up by other students? Yu seems to understand that it's because of her powers, but I can't seem to make the connection. The first thing I wanted to say about this scene, actually, just personally, is that this kind of, again, plays into how Yu doesn't really know how he feels still, and how they're still kind of just acquaintances, and how he doesn't really stick his business into other people's business, because he just fucking watches. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even do anything. Like, he just sits there. And I think that's kind of weird and standoffish in a way. But he eventually walks in and it's just kind of like, hey, are you okay? But Pepe couldn't make a connection as to why they'd be doing that. But I do remember in the scene, like, they're saying names like, this is for so-and-so and so-and-so. So clearly they blame her for something that happened to friends of theirs, whether their friends are also, like, bitches or whatever, and are unkawaii pig dogs, sorry.
Yes, please.
And
there are children watching.
We can edit it out. maybe they're, like, unkawaii pig dogs, and they got what they deserved, and now kick their asses. Or maybe they blame Now for some reason. Like, what if those... Like, what if those girls have powers, and she brought them there, but couldn't save their friends? Whoa!
Yeah.
I don't know. But clearly they blame her for something that happened to their friends, and I would say that is good enough to justify why they would be doing what they're doing.
And she doesn't fight back, she just takes those punches, and it looks like it's something that happens on a regular basis as well.
I think she doesn't fight back to make it less of a hassle. Like, because she says to Misa, yeah, let's not go kick their asses.
You're just going to get into more trouble.
Maybe she could kick their asses, but it's just making trouble and pain. And she could just take the punches and be done with it.
Yeah, either that or it's that she feels guilty and she wants to take the punches. Another interpretation.
Like maybe it's like self-depreciation, like maybe she feels like she deserves it.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be an interesting topic.
But we just don't know yet. Like, we can only speculate at this point. I really hope they go into more of that later, because that's probably my favorite scene of the episode. Like, just the way, like, yeah, she comes over and it's like, well, you comes over and she's like, you know, what do you care? You just stood by and watched, you know? And she just brushes it off. So she's so blasé about it. Like, she's obviously, like, covered in dirt and stuff, and her phone rings, like...
And then, five seconds later, she's Katab! You know, yeah, playing exactly, Kosuke again. It's so obvious that now is our, not actually the protagonist, but might as well be the protagonist that Maida likes to do with, like, Yuri or Kyosuke or whoever.
Yeah, it's like, if this was episode 3, I'd call that bad directing, the way it just transitioned so quickly, but no, I feel like this served much more of a purpose here, like, the way it was, like, just rubbed off so quickly, it's like, yeah, don't worry about that, don't worry about it, it's nothing.
It's just like the brother. I mean, that's, again, that was a fast scene. It just makes us wanna... time, I was like, well, they clearly said it's not a big deal, and they don't want to focus on that because they want to get towards, you know, their actual plot.
Yeah, but it's definitely, it leaves so much more of an impact almost because of that. It's kind of weird. I really dug that scene. So we're moving towards the end of the episode now. Do you want to, like, throw in any observations or predictions you guys might have?
Less of an observation, more of a, oh my god, that's such good writing. So basically, now in you, when they're shopping, like, we were speaking about this earlier, about you being surprised you're a vegetarian, you said. I think Yu's like of vegetables is insignificant as a character, but was there for writing purposes. So like they're in the supermarket, they're arguing. That's just giving them chemistry. That's giving Jojo and Yusa something to comment on. That's just character developing. But then that same vegetable thing comes back later to give Yusa an incentive to say, "Man, my sister sure liked meat." And that gives us our natural segue into Yusa talking about her sister. So the vegetables don't really matter anything to Yu's character. They both serve to show the chemistry between Nao and Yu in the convenience store, as well as have give us a reason for Yusa to talk about her sister later, instead of, "Man, I do sure hate Mom, don't I, little sister?"
Yeah, that is actually a really good point.
And that's like more like actual Maida with like interwoven, you know, pieces that may not be important, but they connect somewhere. Like, he doesn't write bullshit. Like, he writes things for reasons a lot of the times. That felt more like good Maida and not bad Maida.
Yeah, definitely. Nice pickup on that. I like that interpretation. I guess we should talk about the fall.
Yeah, I guess this is just kind of my quick, like, opinion on the fall. Obviously, he takes over Sky High Saito, and he's just, like, falling for a lot longer than 5 seconds after he does the body jacking. And...
yeah, anime seconds.
There's a few ways to look at it. One, it's just anime seconds. I mean, everyone remembers Dragon Ball Z whenever Frieza's like, 5 minutes, I'm going to destroy the planet, and then it takes, like, fucking 28 minutes or something. Or maybe you watch JoJo's, but anyways, it could be that. Another thing that would be interesting is maybe he was able to persevere and, like, actually be like, shit, I really gotta do this and focus, which he was. He's like, I gotta fly, and because of the severity of the situation that he was gonna pull through, maybe that's it, he extended it a couple seconds. Or the third thing is it's for dramatic effect, obviously. Like, maybe it is 5 seconds, but they take a good moment to, like, show us how shocking it is, like, how high he is in the sky. And he's like, holy shit. Like, it's another one of these things about how Yu keeps having these really, like, crazy, like, shocking moments. that, like, are obviously really just shocking to him. Like, he's not used to flying that high. Sky High Saito is. So whenever he takes over the dude's body, he's just like, oh my goodness, I'm really high up here.
Yeah, it's like his world is expanding. It's such, like, an adolescent thing, isn't it? Getting all these new experiences that are kind of shaking his view of the world.
Well, I didn't, like, immediately jump out and complain that, oh man, this is taking a really long time. Was mainly because when I was watching it, I was just kind of in awe. I was like, damn, like, look at that landscape. That's crazy. I was thinking about, imagine how it would be to be up in the sky like that. That's ridiculous.
Well, I want to be Sky High Saito.
It's like that, right? They had to take a moment to set up, like, oh, shit, I'm way up in the air. This is, like, it's fantastic. It's something almost, like, otherworldly. Most people aren't skydiving or flying. And then they had to take a second to have you go, well, shit, I'm falling. And then, you know, they gotta have him actually do his thing, but I don't think they could really fit the effect into 5 seconds, because they would have, like, a split second of him falling, and then, like, some talking, and then power.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could definitely be for dramatic effect, but I personally think it was more than 5 seconds, because earlier in the episode, when he was bathing with Takamatsu, he was like, what good is power that only works for 5 seconds? And Jojo's like, it might be more important than you think.
Like, he specifically called out his work on training yourself.
Then
that's
good.
Actually a good. That actually adds a bit to that scene, too, where, like, obviously, Takajo has, like, trained his body to support his power, then maybe you should be doing some training to support his own. I don't know.
Well, see, my impression of that was a bit different. It was more like you said, he trained his body to complement his power. I thought he was more implying, like, oh, you should figure out how to maybe use other power users' powers, or, you know, do something to enhance his own outside of, I mean, I feel like they probably can't directly enhance their power. Mm. That's just a hunch of mine. It's kind of baseless, but I don't know. I think he was implying, like, something else.
The other thing that's really nice here is obviously, like, it's good to see that and see, like, is it kind of, like, a beautiful thing. Because they have to, you know, immediately kick Saito in the balls and tell him you can't do it anymore, which I thought was also really good. This was the same as episode 4, where the scene wasn't, like, presented as super dramatic, but the actual narrative is there, like, that it's kind of, like, it sucks, you know? It's like, well, shit, I can't fly, you know?
Yeah.
I actually like that. It's a nice little touch, and it helps with these monsters of the week.
Yeah. So, anything else anyone wants to say before I wrap it up?
Well, my prediction is that that Ayumi wasn't able to go outside to get food because the security stopped her, which is really interesting, almost like she's being imprisoned. Oh,
yeah. That is kind of interesting.
The other thing that's really interesting that keeps happening is that every single time they keep saying, oh, it's okay, we're getting people, so we don't have to worry about our grades, but what actually self-respecting school just tells you to not give a shit about your grades?
Yep. Just reinforcing your theory, Biz, I know.
The closest thing I have to a prediction is I don't think Ayumi's going to get it as bad as everyone thinks next episode.
No?
Shit's going to go down, Yu's going to panic.
It's a key age boy.
It's... I don't...
So you reckon it's a red herring?
It's a Mita joke?
Yes.
That would be excellent.
I think that Kyle is more for the cute scene than it is for key aids.
So just a false alarm.
I think if something's going to happen to her, it's going to be, like, delayed. It's not going to happen then.
Okay, interesting. Well, I guess we'll find out next episode. So join us next week as we talk about episode 6, and it'll be airing in a few hours after we publish this podcast. So we'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
The moon, the bear, and the big blue house.
Dude.